This is communion service, Sunday morning, the first Sunday of Lent, 1969.
Beanie, what's the first hymn?
Number two.
Let us stand while we sing that. We are here
in the name of Jesus Christ.
We are here because we are men, but we deny our humanity. We are stubborn fools and liars to ourselves. We do not love God nor other people as we ought. We war against life. We hurt each other. We are sorry for it and know we are sick from it. We seek new life. Giver of life, heal us and free us to be men.
Holy Spirit, speak to us.
Help us to listen, for we are very deaf. Come, fill this moment. And then the Old Testament lesson.
Behold, the day has come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Then we'll have the hymn.
272.
Scripture lessons today are from three different particular translations or renditions of the scripture. Beany was the Old Testament. Was that King James? Was that King James, the Old Testament that I gave you? I think it was. And the epistle lesson is from a letter to Washington and is the Cotton Patch version of Paul's epistles. And this is a thing done by a fellow down in the South who incidentally is the director of a community down there, a farming community. I don't know a whole lot about it, but apparently somewhat like our thing, although they're a productive farming community for men. But this is then Paul's letter to Washington. And this is an updating of Paul's epistles that apply to the conditions in the South. And then the gospel lesson will be from Good News for Modern Men.
I just glanced at it before. I'm going to read it now. And on the back it says, this is the modern day translation, and it is. And remember that this is the day. It's time already for you to get out of bed, because the salvation we have is much nearer to acceptance than when we put our trust in it. The night is fading, the day is dawning, so let's take off our pajamas and put on our work clothes. Let's live as becomes the day, not in the wild parties and drunkenness, not in jumping into beds and in sex orgies, not in bickering and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with Lord Jesus Christ and make no plan for using the body for lust.
And then let's go right to the gospel. After that, let's stand for the gospel lesson.
gospel for the first Sunday in Advent is recorded in Luke 3, verses 1 through 6. It was the 15th year of the rule of Emperor Tiberius. Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the territory of Etruria and Trachonitis. Lysanias was ruler of Abilene, and Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. It was at this time that the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. So John went throughout the whole territory of the Jordan River. "Turn away from your sins and be baptized," he preached, "and God will forgive your sins." As the prophet Isaiah had written in his book, "Someone is shouting in the desert, 'Get the Lord's road ready for him. Make a straight path for him to travel. All low places must be filled up, all hills and mountains leveled off. The winding roads must be made straight, the rough paths made smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation."
Why, it's very natural indeed. I myself, in your situation, if I had an appointment with a Godin, I'd wait until it was black night, until I gave up. But I must really be getting on if I am to observe my schedule. "Have you not done tormenting me with your accursed time? It's abominable. When? One day he went dumb. One day I went blind. One day we'll go deaf. One day we were born. One day we will die. The same day, the same second. Is that not enough for you?" They give birth astride of a grave. The light gleams an instant, and the night comes once again. The lessons for today mention this day. They mention time, the invocation we used at the beginning of the service says, "Come, fill this moment." But we can think about time in two ways. Time as amount, minutes, hours, days, weeks, years, the church year. Or we can think about time as content. Content of opportunity for God to touch his people. Today we celebrate Advent. As we did last year, and the year before, and the year before that, so what? So why celebrate it again? Why is it so important? Or is it important at all? Time is important to us. Amounts of time are important to us. Now, how better could God reveal himself to man but to come in the same concern for time that we have? Advent says to us that God came to us at a certain time. He was a man. He was born at a certain time. So the church year, or perhaps it's better, the Christ year, is important as it reminds us that he was here in our history, in our time. But he is also here in creation, in his birth, death, resurrection, transfiguration, all in one day, in 1 second. 1 second that takes in all time. God's second of opportunity to touch his people. This is time as content. The unbounded content of God's wrath, of God's concern, of his love, and his forgiveness. So we have a character in Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot, who dwells in each kind of time. I must really be getting along if I'm to observe my schedule. Yet he sees time as 1 second. One day we were born. One day we shall die. The same day, the same second. Is that not enough for you? They give birth astride a grave. The light gleams an instant, and then it is night once more. Which thought of time do we choose to live with? Time as amount, minutes, hours, days, schedules, church years, the Christ year, or time as content? God's reaching to touch his people in one all-inclusive second. Perhaps the choice is not one or the other, but both. The one we're bound by without choice. We are men born at a certain time, and we are men to die at a certain time. Yet there is the choice of receiving God's touch as he extends it forever in 1 second, extending himself, extending Christ, extending the Holy Spirit, all at once. Now, Christ, now. Christ alive today, alive today in men. So we celebrate his coming, because he came in time, in our setting of time boundaries. Yet he is also God touching without boundaries of time, or boundaries of anything else, but touching now and touching forever. Now and forever are one. Now and forever are 1 second. We are waiting this Advent time for Christ to come. And yet, He is already here. Rejoice and be glad that he came as man in time. And rejoice that he is always here in 1 second, touching your lives. Then let us kneel for the prayers of intercession, and for those wishing to bid or ask for particular prayers for people in this community or for anyone else, the time is appropriate to ask for those prayers and to then give the prayer yourself, or perhaps someone else will want to offer the prayer for which you have asked. Let us pray. We would ask for thought and prayer for those in anguish and suffering throughout the world, whether it's in the ghettos, in the cities, in the fields, in Vietnam, or in the hearts of every man in his own personal battles. And then two prayers for all men, that they will receive the touching hand as it is reached toward them from God, to know and feel that they are forgiven and that there is a new hope, a new man, now and forever. Heavenly Father, watch over this floundering community, this floundering nation, your floundering people. Help us in our floundering moments to receive your touch and to know that new life, and then to give it to those around us. Amen. Let us continue then with the meal on the bottom of the first page. If when you are bringing your gift to the altar, you suddenly remember that your brother has a grievance against you, leave your gift where it is before the altar. First go and make peace with your brother, and only then come back and offer your gift. And then at this point, if it's appropriate for you, there is a place for passing the peace that can come from God in the forgiveness of sins to one another. So let it be. If you so wish to do this to those around you or to some particular one with whom you have had a grievance, to extend that peace of God. And as I suggested last night, at the evening service in the forgiveness of sins or passing on the peace of God, or even today as we administer communion to one another. Don't be shy or hesitant about choice of words in trying to select the correct church words, but say it as you feel it in the words that are appropriate for you. And indeed, sometimes there may not be words, but simply a touch. My brothers, I implore you by God's mercy to offer yourselves to Him, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for His acceptance, the worship offered by mind and heart. Adapt yourselves no longer to the pattern of this present world, but let your minds be remade and your whole nature thus transformed. Then you will be able to discern the will of God and to know what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Then let us be seated and have the offertory hymn. Continuation and the blessing, and all together at the top of the next page, receive, O Father, these fruits of the earth and the products of our labors, which we offer to you in token of the sacrifice of our lives. Accept them, please, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks for this, His glory. Thanks and praise be to you, O Father, who sent your only Son into the world to be a man, born of a woman, to die for us on a cross that was made by us.
He came for us, help us to accept his coming.
He walked among us a man on earth, in our world of conflict, and commanded us to remember his death which gives us life, and to wait for him until he comes again in glory.
We remember his death. We live by his presence. We wait for his coming.
On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, remembering his death, believing in his rising from the grave, affirming his presence, now in this place, we obey his command. We await the gift of himself.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Send down on us, O Father, the spirit of life and power, glory and love, that in this holy communion we may be made one with him and he with us, and that we may remain faithful members of his body until we eat with him in his heavenly kingdom.
Come, risen Lord, live in us that we may live in you.
Now with all the faithful, whoever were, are, and will be, with all creation in all time, with joy we sing.
Holy, holy, holy,
Lord God Almighty, all space and all time show forth your glory now and always. Amen. And now, in the words of our Lord, we are bold to say, Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Amen.
And then we will share the communion bread and wine by administering it, as usual, to one another. And as I have already suggested, whatever words are appropriate for you, whether it is the body of Christ given for you, or the blood of Christ shed for you, or whatever way you wish to express it, that is up to you. For those who do not wish to receive communion, this is their prerogative, of course, and the person then to their left may give them a blessing of God and the forgiveness of sins. And this is certainly true, of course, for the children. And so we would invite the parents of the children that are here that if they will not be receiving communion, that they would give their children then the blessings and forgiveness of God.